briefly meant to look at three levels of compassion. I'm in list mode this morning. So three levels of compassion that you might find in Buddhism. So first of all, there's what we could just call situational compassion, which actually isn't called that in the text. It's called something like episodic, but that always makes me think of The West Wing. Serial compassion. But I think situational compassion is possibly a way in. So this is compassion which just arises because we're faced with suffering. So it's kind of quite straightforward. It comes from the basis of, a heart full of metta. We have some sense of loving kindness. We might not be what we always experience in every moment of every day of our life. But yeah, we do. And I don't think you need to have done the metta bhavana practice to have that. I think it's a human quality of solidarity and a human quality of care and love and kindness. However, doing the metta bhavana can really hone it. It can really sort of, you know, give you the tool for it. I'm a great fan of the metta bhavana myself. Anyway, through that, you know, if we come in contact with suffering, we see suffering and we're able to respond to it. So it's situational. It's dependent on the situation as it arises. And that is a wonderful level of compassion. That is compassion, you know, when we can feel that and it's true compassion and we can act on the basis of it, then that is a wonderful thing. But then there is a level of compassion that's deeper than that. And that's compassion which kind of goes a bit beyond just the response, and it comes from a more deeply rooted place in ourselves. And this comes from that understanding of impermanence and insubstantiality. It comes from an understanding of what dukkha is. So the more we understand dukkha, the more we can respond with a compassionate response rather than horrified anxiety or terror or numbness. So back to the heart that stays asleep. As we really come into contact with impermanence and insubstantiality, that starts to kind of mould us in some way. As our experience starts to be shaped and shifted by that, then in a way what can happen is rather than the numbness, rather than the sleep, we can start to awaken. We can really feel our heartbeat, and we can feel how that heartbeat is in harmony and in tune with the heartbeat of every single being, with the whole planet, with the whole world. It's as though I've borrowed this heartbeat for the course of my life, however many years more I have. I've had it now for 50 odd years. Hopefully I have it for a few more. But I've borrowed it, but I think it's mine. I've made this big mistake in thinking that I own that heartbeat. But that heartbeat is the heartbeat of life itself, which temporarily I manifest. And hopefully I do it as much justice and respect as I can. That's my task in life. So for the time being, I have this heartbeat, which is not my heartbeat, it's your heartbeat, and it's the heartbeat of the whole universe manifesting temporarily in me. And in this level of compassion, where we really do realise that there is no separation, one of the shifts that happens in this level of compassion is that we don't divide the world into doer and done to. So we don't only identify, if you like, with the sufferer of whatever, violence or whatever the particular suffering is coming from. But we also are able to feel a strong, real compassion for the doer, the perpetrator. We still see the world in that divided way, but we manage somehow to have a heart that's big enough. Which doesn't mean we condone the actions, of course not, and it doesn't mean we don't act when we see a need to act. But what it does mean is that we manage to find ways of actually being big enough to stay in relation. There's a wonderful Thich Nhat Hanh poem, which some of you will know, which is called Call Me By My True Names. And in that he talks about identifying imaginatively with a person who suffers and the creator of that suffering. And in a way, this is moving us into quite a deep level of compassion. I'll just tell you quickly a little dream I had. Some of you have heard this before. It was a bit meta, but it was kind of compassion. So this was years ago. I was in a solitary retreat, and I had this dream that one of my tasks in life was to sing songs for the dying. So there I was, and I would be wherever I was needed. I would just go wherever I was needed, and I would sing this song which would guide the souls. Okay, I know I'm a Buddhist, but so we'd take that poetically. I would guide the spirit of the dying to wherever they needed to go. So there I was above Nicaragua in this dream. And the souls, there was a battle happening. This must have been in the mid-80s. there is a battle happening. And as these, whatever, spirit, consciousness, soul entities were coming towards me, I was saying, Sandinista or Contra? And if they were Sandinistas, I would then sing them to their next whatever. And if they were Contras, I'm afraid I turned my back upon them. And I woke out of this dream really quite deeply shocked, because I realised how very conditioned my responses of metta and compassion really were. And in a way, I didn't give myself a very hard time about it. I thought it was kind of natural. And in a way, even amusingly understandable. But I felt deeply, deeply uncomfortable with that as a response. I did not want that to be my response. I didn't want to go through my life dividing the world into those that I felt for and those that I felt against. So, you know, I think that's been quite a practice for me. And at times I manage it and lots of times I don't. But it's something that I do hold as an ideal. And this level of compassion, where one able to reach it, I think would really be able to feel that same level of compassion while still acting against injustice, against what we see as behaviour that causes suffering, but nevertheless still somehow holding our heart open to the doer as well as to the done too. And then the very deepest level of compassion, Maha Karuna, Maha compassion, has completely broken through that distinction and is just the compassionate heart beating in the world. So those are the levels of compassion. And for most of us, most of the time, we're going to work somewhere between situational compassion, responding when we see something, and again, now and again, having a sense of that bigness and that really being able to be a bit beyond our kind of own responses and our own likes and dislikes, and just feeling in touch with that sense of the need for compassion. And of course, as I say, it comes from a real understanding of impermanence and suffering, because we're able to see that the doer of the deed is in some way that we probably cannot understand, and we'll get our head really nipped if we try and understand it, is causing their own future suffering. I say that because sometimes I look at people who seem to be very cruel and not very nice, and they seem to have the life of Riley. And I look at people who seem to me to be people who are very, you know, kind and generous, and they seem to have such a hard time. So at some point, somewhere along the line, I just had to think, okay, I don't understand that. I still believe very deeply in the law of conditionality, and I just don't understand it. And I really don't mean to have a simplistic response to it and think, well, if somebody's having a hard time, it's because they've done something to deserve it. I do not accept that view of karma. So I think it's much, much, much more sophisticated and complicated than that, and beyond my ken. However, I do have a sense that somebody who is in some way acting and causing suffering to others is not happy and is causing, is planting the seeds of future suffering. And I try not to think, I hope so anyway. That wouldn't be very nice.